From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of January 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Kurt Kimmel is away today. A bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons will join us to take up the cash grain market. We'll hear the latest from Daryl Good about the wild swings in the commodity markets and what he expects for both old and new crop corn pricing. And then as we close out our program, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago on this Monday. Edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher, led up by the soybeans. We'll start there for the afternoon. That March contract, 30.5 cents higher in the lead option at $12.19 on its high price, the low at $11.92 to give you a range. $12.17.5 was the settlement price. March beans up 30.5. The May futures, $12.25.5 up 30. July at $12.34.25 up 29.75. And November beans at $12.07.5. The new crop up 23.25. The January of 2013. At $12.14.25, up 22.25. Now the wheat pit March contract, 6.19.75, up 9.25. July at 6.54.25, 10.5 cents higher. From the corn pit, futures there at 6.20, up 8.5 cents. May at 6.25.75, up 9. July corn 6.29.75, 9.5 higher. September at $5.80.25, up 4.75. And December corn $5.56.25, up 4.5 cents. March at $5.68.75, up 4.75. Bean meal futures up $9.10 at $3.21. Bean oil at $51.42, 99 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the afternoon with the nearby February is at $1.24, 65 cents higher. April at $1.28, 17.5 up 45. January feeders $151.90 per 100 pounds, up 27.5 cents. The March contract down a dime at $153.75. February lean hogs 86, 47.5 up $1.15 on the day. And the April futures at $88.50, $1.45 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online and listen anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby March crude oil, $99.82 a barrel, $1.49 higher. Ethanol at 2.15 3/10, up 2 1/10 cents. Natural gas at 2.56 1/10, 21 8/10 higher. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.07, up 0.3 cents. Up 3 cents for the day. Gold futures at $1,678, $14.30 higher, and the dollar at 79.7. That's down 0.44. The CRB index at 313.58, 3.67 higher for the afternoon. The weather forecast says this afternoon we'll see a few scattered flurries in the Urbana-Champaign area. It will be cloudy with a steady temperature at about 34 degrees. It'll be breezy with a west wind at 21 to 24. That'll gust as high as 36 this afternoon. Then tonight, cloudy during the early evening hours. That'll gradually clear out with a low of 23. Breezy west winds at 17 to 20. They'll decrease to 9 to 12 overnight. Winds could gust till as high as 26. And then on tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 34 degrees. A northwest wind at 5 to 9 miles an hour. On Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 23. A north-northwest wind at 3 to 5. And Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 38 degrees with a northeast wind at 5 miles an hour. On Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, a low of 30. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high of 43. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a low of 29. By the time we get to Friday, we'll see partly sunny skies and a high near 44 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 26. And Saturday, mostly sunny skies. It'll be breezy Saturday, a high of 37 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 22. On Sunday, mostly sunny skies and a high near 35 degrees. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This is the closing market report. It is a Monday afternoon, the 23rd day of January. On the phone line with us, Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, it's so good to have you on the closing market report this afternoon. Why don't you take us through what's happening in the weather forecast, or what happened in the weather over the weekend, and how that impacted trade in Chicago, please?
Well, South American weather didn't get as much rain as expected, especially in some of the really dry areas. And in some of the areas that didn't rain, where they're harvesting in northern Brazil, got rain and it's slowing down harvest. So that helped push everything higher. They continue to get rains in parts for the next couple of days, and then they go back hot and dry, and then they have in a week or so another portion for rain. But the big thing today, they did not get as much as expected where they were super dry, and they got a little more than needed where they were already wet, trying to harvest, slowing down harvest in northern Brazil.
Now, of course, that is a great big wide area, and there is crop early harvested, late harvested, and we talk about harvest for 4 months, I think, out of Argentina and Brazil. How much crop has been impacted, do you suppose, by the dry weather we've had?
I think the dry weather has impacted probably two-thirds of Argentina and a little bit of southern Brazil, especially on the corn. The beans, it affected the late planting there, whether they would plant it or not. It also affected the plant growth. But just like here, August makes beans. This is July 23rd. It's getting close to that date. Dryness will hurt beans if we can't get rain to fill those beans in the month of August, which is what we're looking at in another week in South America.
March corn futures rallied to $6.20, up 8.5 cents at the end of the day on a Monday afternoon. Is this a rally to be sold, do you think, for old crop?
I think I would be looking at selling some. I don't know what we'll do tonight and what the weather forecast will do, but I do think old crop on rally should be sold. We, from the December lows, went up about 80-some cents. We dropped then probably close to 60 of that, and we're back up 8 to 10 today. We were back up a little bit at the end of last week.
On new crop, do you have targets for sales there, too?
I still have targets on new crop for when December gets just below 6, and then when it gets to about 620 to do some K sales or some protecting of prices.
So your expectation is that there will be a weather or other some other sort of scare that might, at least in the near term, pop that market a bit more than it already has.
Correct. And, I mean, we had really good prices on that some people got took advantage of, but others did not, and we're back in that. Well, today, example, we were down part of the day on new crop corn and down to below 550, and we had that up at 650. I don't know that we can get back to that number, but I think we should be able to get close to that $6 number on the board due to some problem later on.
Are you satisfied with the 94-95 million acre, and which one, I suppose, for corn in the coming year?
I don't know that I'm agreeable to any acreage yet, just because we don't know enough. Yeah, farmers can make more money on corn. In places, the people that don't have high cash rents will move back to a few more beans because of the second, third year crop corn not doing very well, but in others it's going to be what the potential is and what can I do to not have that drawdown on the second, third, fourth year corn.
And then as you look into the livestock area, what kind of prospects do you see for the price of cattle? Will it move sharply higher still from the levels we're at?
I think it will down the road. I think right now we're having, right at this area, kind of a back and forth area, but I think once we get into the realization that our herd is small, and when we start holding back calves, for reproductive animals, it will even tighten it more, and that's when we will boom somewhere down the road.
And of course, we have feeders at $151.90 today, almost $152. Live cattle, though, at $124.60. What kind of jumps do you think are in the offing?
I expect to go to that $135 area anyway in live cattle.
All right. Thanks so much, Pete. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you.
Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. You can listen to what Pete had to say again if you'd like on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. If you haven't been there for, well, quite a while now, but if you haven't been for quite a while, you'll probably find all kinds of information there about our upcoming All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. And we'll start telling you a bit more about that tomorrow, but if you want to find out who's on that meeting and when it is, March the 6th, which is the first Tuesday in the month of March, you can do that on our website, WILLAG.org. More on the All-Day Ag Outlook as we make our way through this week. We'll give you some updated information about how to get your tickets early. The All-Day Ag Outlook will be in what, our 21st year, I think, of that particular program. A magnificent program. And if you've not been, try to put that one on your calendar right now today. You can find all the information at WILLAG.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Dave Dickey is here with now with all of today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Obama administration wants to overhaul how the government inspects U.S. chicken and turkey plants, the first such change in 50 years to put greater focus on food safety. USDA unveiled the proposal on Friday, saying it would save money and focus the work of its inspectors on areas with the greatest risk of contamination. There would be 500 to 800 fewer inspectors if the plan is adopted. The rule would affect large U.S. poultry processors such as Tyson Foods Incorporated, Pilgrim's Pride Corporation, privately owned Purdue Farms Incorporated, and Sanderson Farms Incorporated. Poultry plants would have the option, though, of switching to the new approach or staying under the current inspection regime. USDA said the plan would devote more of inspector time to offline activities such as pathogen sampling. It would continue its traditional slaughter line inspections. The International Grains Council has reduced its global soybean production forecast for 2011-12, citing an ongoing dry spell in South America. The IGC forecast soybean output at 256.4 million tons in 2011-12. That's down 0.8% from its previous forecast and 4% from a record global harvest in 2010-11. The IGC cut its forecast for Argentina by 2.9% to 51 million metric tons. The council forecast Brazil's output at 71.8 million metric tons. That's down 0.5% from its previous forecast. The IGC is forecasting soybean production in the U.S. at 83.2 million metric tons, up 0.4% from its previous forecast, but 8.2% lower on year in the marketing year that began on September 1st. Meanwhile, Ag Rural today says that Brazil is likely to produce 70.2 million tons of soy in the 2011-12 season, lowering its estimate from a previous 73.1 million metric tons. The European Union formally adopted an oil embargo today against Iran and a freeze of the assets of the country's central bank. In advance of today's decision, negotiators worked hard to try to ensure that the embargo would punish only Iran and not EU member Greece, which is in dire financial trouble and relies heavily on low-priced Iranian oil. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can hear anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org on your smartphone at M, which stands for mobile, m.willag.org. No www in front of that one, or just by calling this number, 217-333-3434. Actually, that's an update of the opening or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis posted at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year. Now up next, you know the cash price of corn has moved pretty dramatically since last fall. The swings have been both higher and lower. I'll have a report in just a moment from the University of Illinois suggesting more of the same is in store for the coming months. The price of corn has moved in a pretty wide trading range since October. Those swings have come along with changing underlying factors, including USDA reports, weather in South America, the rate of export sales, the rate of ethanol production, and the projected size of the 2012 U.S. corn crop. University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good says the price of corn has also likely been influenced by volatility in the financial, currency, and metal markets. And he says the price of last year's corn crop will continue to move widely on those same issues. The price of next year's crop, however, will hinge, for the moment at least, on the number of acres to be planted to corn.
Current expectations for planted acreage of corn appear to center on about 94 million, 2 million more than planted in 2011. With favorable planting season weather, such an increase could be easily accommodated without a reduction in total acreage of other spring planted crops. Total cropland acreage could increase substantially in 2012 as a result of maturing CRP contracts and a sharp reduction in prevented plantings. Planted acreage of 94 million would point to acreage harvested for grain near 87 million, 3 million more than harvested last year. An average yield near 160 bushels then would result in a crop of 13.92 billion bushels. Corn consumption would have to increase by 1.28 billion bushels, or 10%, next year to prevent an increase in the size of year-ending stocks. Unless expectations for a larger crop are altered by spring weather or by acreage estimates, prices for the 2012 crop will remain below the prices for the 2011 crop. Prices for the 2011 crop are expected to remain within the range established over the past 4 months, at least for a few more weeks.
Those weeks will give the trade more time to assess the viability of the corn crop in Argentina, the pace of U.S. corn exports, ethanol production in the post-tax credit era, and, of course, feed usage. You may read more from U of I ag economist Daryl Good online each Monday at the Farm Doc Daily website. That's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
Well, I've been trying to reach the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County, but either they've got an awfully busy line with people talking about today's commodity jump and prices, or there's something else afoot. It could be either. We'll see. We'll try to get them on the line here in just a bit. They're busy at the moment, but we'll talk to you just a bit about the weather forecast and things that we have coming up. Of course, you can always visit our weather online at WILL, or you can visit us online and learn more about what's coming up in our calendar as well. All kinds of ag outlooks over the winter meeting season. Dave Dickey and company are out in the evenings. You can find out how you can schedule one of those. And you can also find out more about our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. All the details are there at WILLAG.org. Just a quick look at the weather forecast as it pertains to this evening and tonight in the area. Cloudy during the early evening hours. It'll get colder for the evening. A low of 23, breezy, with a west wind at 17 to 20 miles an hour. That'll decrease to 9 to 12 overnight. Sunny skies for tomorrow. A high of 34 degrees with a northwest wind. That'll be between 5 and 9 miles per hour. You can find all the details of the Urbana-Champaign forecast right there on our website if you'd like. And you can do that at WILLAG.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Checked it back in with the Andersons. Still not available. Still busy, so I suspect that'll be the case. We won't worry about that one. As we move forward through our program, we'll tell you a bit more about things that are happening through the winter meeting season. If you've been following the U of I Extension's programming, you know that we just went through the past couple of weeks, the Corn and Soybean Classics, and then, of course, in December, the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Both of those you can find partially online. I'll check on the Corn and Soybean Classics, but I know the Illinois Farm Economic Summit PDFs and PowerPoints presentation, even a bit of audio, is up on the Farm Doc Daily website. It's all at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, actually at farmdoc.illinois.edu as well. And there you'll find a bit from Daryl Good on what his prospects for pricing over the coming year. And then the last 5 years and what the midpoint price for cash corn and cash soybeans might be. Actually, if you look at it, the midpoint for Central Illinois cash price is much lower than you might suspect. $4.30, the midpoint that Daryl Good and Scott Irwin projected about 4 years ago for the cash price, over the long term, that is, as long as this new crop era lasts, per price, is about $4.60. That's all up on the Farm Doc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. I know that Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather will be with us to take a look at what's in the weather forecast for the coming few days, not only here, but around the planet, and we'll listen to that and talk to him and have a nice little conversation. We will say goodbye, though, to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stick around, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes.
It's National Rhubarb Pie Day. It's also St. Bernard of Vianney Day, patron of farm workers and field hands. On this day in agricultural history in 1855, the first bridge over the Mississippi River opened in what is now Minneapolis, Minnesota. In 1862, 1,400 varieties of grapevines were brought from Europe and planted in California in the Sonoma Valley. Years later, after blight destroyed much of Europe's vineyards, some of these same vines, now on resistant American rootstock, helped save the European wine industries. In 1932, the El Salvador Army killed 4,000 protesting farmers. The farmers were protesting layoffs and wage cutbacks in El Salvador's western coffee region during the Depression. In 1961, Wilhelm Koppers died, a Roman Catholic priest and cultural anthropologist. He developed theories on the origins of society based on studies of food-gathering tribes. And in 1998, Pope John Paul II condemned a U.S. embargo against Cuba. The embargo, begun in 1962, was enacted after the Castro government confiscated private property of U.S. citizens and the United Fruit Company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather is here to take up the forecast. Mike, let's start with what's been happening right here in our neck of the woods and then across the Midwest. It was cold, snowy, a little warmer, a little wetter, and then the cold air is beginning to come back in for the afternoon. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. But if you look at the big picture, it doesn't look too bad going forward. We do have quite a bit of rain that will take place to the south of Illinois, and that will continue to move through the southern soft red winter wheat areas. So people to the south of Champaign-Urbana and heading more into southern Illinois will have to contend with some rain later this week, and they really don't need a lot more rain. At the same time, though, as you look to the west, the northwest corn belt stays mostly dry here over the next 7 to 10 days, a pattern has been in place now for quite a while.
Can you talk more about that? Because that pattern was in place prior to the fall. There was some wet weather for a moment or two there, and then it has returned since that point. How far depleted are the soils at this time?
Well, a large area out there has received less than 25 to 50% of its average rainfall over the last 90 days. It includes around 25% of projected corn production for this year. So that is a concern, but the thing to keep in mind is that planting does not begin for about 3 months. So even though the weather pattern right now is not very good, and it has not been good over the last several weeks and months, there is time for improvement. As the La Nina diminishes over the next several months, we think we'll start to see rain chances start to move back toward the north. So that'll be something to watch going forward. But right now, we're not super concerned about it just because there is so much time for things to improve.
On the subject of changing weather patterns in South America, there was concern, great concern, the dry weather had diminished the crop there. There was some rainfall. How did they stand today in Argentina?
Argentina has a very big dry problem going on right now, in our opinion. And the reason we say that is that if you look at rainfall beginning December 1st and then ending yesterday, pretty much every location received less than half its average rainfall over that period. So even some areas in the Corn Belt received less than 25% of their average rainfall, and this is over a 50-day period in the heart of their growing season. So we remain concerned about that. Rainfall over the weekend was supposed to be very well evenly distributed, but that did not happen. There are storms in progress right now in Argentina. Those move to the north through tomorrow, but once they end, there's not much out there for at least a week, and we only think they'll receive around, say, 3/4 of an inch of rain to 1.5 inches in scattered areas. Not everyone will see that much. So we think the dry problem will continue in Argentina. It just looks like it's been a very prolonged dry spell. And even though we've had some rain lately, it really hasn't broken the big picture.
Have the primary growing regions in Brazil suffered the same fate?
Brazil has not been as dry, no. So that is the one good thing. But if you look at average rainfall in southern Brazil and Paraguay, pretty much every location there received anywhere from 50% to 75% of its average rainfall. They all are much drier than average since December 1st. So even though the situation is a bit better, it's not great, and that's a concern, and it'll be something that we'll be interested to hear about going forward, the yield reports that eventually start to come out of those areas.
Thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
That's Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.